If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL Podcast. I'm Conroy. Albert Breer's here. We got to hang out over the weekend, which is very cool, at the retirement party of our former boss, Peter King. So it was the first time I've seen Albert in a couple weeks. I had a weird thing where I was actually nervous that we were going to wear the same suit jacket.
Me and you?
Yeah. I bought a suit jacket. This is weird. I bought a suit jacket because I didn't have any suit jackets that fit. I went to the store and I bought a suit jacket just for like kind of versatility purposes.
Yep.
And then I took it home. And then weirdly, like in the back of my head, I was like, this looks like a suit jacket that Albert would buy. It just looks like a suit jacket that you have.
So you got a good sense of style. Well, I would have like examined the two. Like, were they close?
No, they weren't close. But I thought, like, I just like, imagine we're going to go to this place where we're going to take photos together. We're going to be in the same crowd. And then we have the exact same suit jacket on. It was sort of
like
a nightmare.
Podcast uniform?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. No, I'm glad we did.
It was weird because... If everybody wants a peek behind the curtain, about like 2 hours into the party, I went over to Connor and I'm like, I haven't talked to you at all. And he's like, yeah, we don't really need to catch up. We talk all the time.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
There's no acrimony or anything. It's just like,
there's
a bunch
good.
Of people we hadn't seen there in years. I will say one note on Peter's retirement party. Just like we've talked about this before, but, just a night to make you realize that when you think you're being good to people and you think you're caring about people, there's always more that you can do.
You're not even close.
You're not even close. I mean, yeah. Peter has touched and changed so many lives, and it re-energizes you a little bit because, you know, I'm always grateful for this job, but
yeah.
When you're in that, you know, sometimes when the work gets you down or you get cynical or, you know, all that kind of stuff, you realize that Peter was doing it for 40 years. He was a saint and he took care of everybody. Yeah. And that's a lesson for not just, anyone that was sitting there, but it's all of us, you know?
Yeah. And I'll just like quickly retell the story. You know, I told this story at his charity event, which is still going on, even though he wasn't there at the combine. And someone there told me I should retell it at his retirement party, which I did wind up doing that at the after party. This is the best embodiment of Peter to me is, so I've always said like the guy who I modeled was the reason why I got into doing this for a living is Will McDonough, who I grew up reading in the Boston Globe. But what I hadn't told Peter before Saturday night was there was a story that he did that was in that category for me too. You know, as a kid who, you know, and I'm guessing you were the same way, Connor, you know, ran down the driveway every Thursday to pull Sports Illustrated out of the mailbox.
Sure.
There was a story he did in the mid-90s with the Packers where he got behind the scenes and it was incredible. And it was like, I want to be the guy who gets behind the scenes that way, you know? And so, like, that was actually, I later found out, where he met a young tight ends coach named Andy Reid. And so, like, after the Super Bowl, I'm standing outside the Chiefs locker room, and I've got most of my work done, and I had set it up so I was going to talk to Andy Reid after the game, and me and Peter are competing head-to-head as we have for the last 6 years. And, you know, Peter had a tough week that week. He was dealing with pneumonia, for people who don't know. It's like, really, I mean, like, you want to see a guy who loves the job and who is committed to the job. You know, you look at Peter during Super Bowl week this year. His age, doesn't need to do it, doesn't need the money, and is just fighting and scratching and clawing to the finish line. And so I see Andy Reid walk him into the office there at Allegiant Stadium, the coach's office at Allegiant Stadium. There's something that clicked in my head that said, like, and the Chiefs were kind of like, nah, I don't know if we're going to get him. And there was something that just told me to leave it alone. Mm-hmm. And I know why now. It's because, like, I've always talked about, like, having, you know, 30-year relationships with the people I cover. You know, like, I think that's how you become good at the job, and treating everybody with the respect you would a 30-year relationship. And I thought about that, and it was legitimately 29 years since he wrote that story. Wow. With the Packers. You know, spending that time with the Packers and meeting Andy Reid for the first time. And I think it said everything about Peter, and that, like, he was able to maintain that relationship for that long, and that he treated somebody who was just a tight ends coach at the time with that much respect, that that person remembered him and was continue to be good to him because he was good to that coach, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, like, it's Peter treated all of us that way. That's the truth, you know, whether it was Andy Reid or Connor or whoever, you know, treated everybody that way. And, you know, I thought it was a really cool, it was like a full circle thing. Being the teenager who had no clue what he wanted to do and was getting bad grades in high school and no direction, all that, like, and, you know, like, that story gave me some direction. And then, you know, to have that, you know, like, see him walking with Andy Reid into the office at Allegiant Stadium was just really, really cool. Cause, you know, you kind of have an appreciation for all that goes into how good he was at the job.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, hopefully we'll get him on the pod here. I know
he's got a lot of free time now.
He's got a lot of time on his hands. Yeah. and we'll see, but, it'd be great to get him on just to kind of talk a little bit about that. So you guys remember we did AFC, standing projections last week. We're going to do NFC this week. A little bit of news off the top though, right before we started taping, Justin Jefferson signed the largest non-quarterback deal in NFL history. And Albert, get this. He says in a video posted to his Instagram, "This is the deal I've wanted since I was a little kid." That's a lot of foresight as a little kid to specifically ask for $35 million a year. He said, "I've been doubted my whole career," which I love. I love that. And you need that, right? As an athlete, right, you have to have that. But while
there are different levels of doubt. I mean, I think that me and you were probably doubted as football players, as kids, in a different way than Justin Jefferson was.
So just for, you know what's in giggles, when I read that, I pulled up his high school highlights, and who was doubting this kid? I mean, and, like, I get it. Okay, so,
well, his older brother was the quarterback at LSU, so it's not like no one saw it coming, you know what I mean?
He, like, okay, so he was a, you know, whatever, Rivals. If you're just consolidating doubt into what the people at Rivals say about you, then I mean, that's good for you, certainly. I mean, whatever. Jeff Perlman did the 68 best sports writers countdown. I wasn't on that list. Did that fire me up? Sure. But then I thought about it and I was like, why on earth does that bother me? You know, and I would guess that Justin Jefferson, like, I'm watching these highlights right now, and the quarterback is essentially just like, it's like in Madden when the screen glitches and it looks like he's accidentally throwing it backwards and over his shoulder. Like, they're just throwing it up to him, and he's just catching everything and running it for a touchdown. But anyway, I'm very happy that he was doubted. I'm very happy that it's the largest deal in history. Good for him.
So first of all, I actually just pulled it up. So for my notes in the summer, he actually said that to me in the summer. Like, I said, how much do you think about getting a second contract? And the stock answer would normally be, you know, we're in training camp. I'm not thinking much about that right now. Just trying to do the best I can, and the rest will take care of itself. No. That's not what Justin Jefferson said. He said to me, it's a dream of mine. It's been a dream since I was 7 years old. And then he went on to say that his absence from OTAs was not contract related, that he was staying in Miami for a bunch of endorsement opportunities. So either way, a lot of noise about this situation, and it gets done with 3 months before the opener. So,
which is the big thing. I mean, I think that we were all, I think my concern here was that if you're Kwesi, the Vikings general manager, there was a lot of time and a lot of opportunities. The way that I understood it, I mean, that this thing could have gotten done before the season last year. I feel like it should have gotten done before the season last year.
Right, and they would have been able to manage the numbers better if they did do it before the season last year.
Right, and the longer that you wait, and I got crushed by Vikings fans for saying this, which I don't understand. How is this not
a argument. There's no argument that it's not smart to do it early.
Right. Like, there's no argument. I don't understand. Like right after that season, the third season, they should have just paid him.
Then that's why I'm going to say this, right? Congratulations to the Lions on Amon-Ra St. Brown,
to the Eagles on
Devontae Smith, yep. to the Dolphins on Jalen Waddle. And I heard, like, I tweeted that, right? Like, the Texans with Nico Collins. I tweeted something along those lines, and you know, the reaction was, well, they're not anywhere close to as good as Jefferson. This is a different category.
It's like, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, your ask is going to change. Like, you don't think, like, CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk's ask just changed?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's – and Jamar Chase, I put Jamar Chase in a different category because I think Chase and Jefferson might be in cahoots on this. So I think Chase might have had – I think Jamar Chase might have had might have been pretty well updated on what was happening with Justin Jefferson. That's just a guess. He may have had an idea. Mm. And I think now, like, that – I think it's actually – I think it's actually, in that way, I think this helps the Bengals. I think that clears the way for the Bengals to get the deal done. And I think Chase is 100% on Jefferson's level, right? Like, so you don't mind paying a great player that much. I think it makes CeeDee Lamb, I think it does not help the Cowboys. And I think it does not help the 49ers.
49ers, though, I feel like they have already, by declaring so much of an interest in allowing him to go anyway. You know what I mean? I feel like that one to me is not an error. Although eventually, if you don't get something for him, it's going to look bad. See, like, you have to get more than a comp pick for him.
I think if they have their druthers, they sign Ayuk and trade Debo.
I mean, that is what makes the most sense. Debo has more mileage. He plays a more physical version of the position.
Right. And Ayuk is more of like a traditional number one receiver.
Correct. Yeah.
So, but I think that the Niners did get ahead of it by signing, and this was like an under the radar thing last week, but they re-signed Juwan Jennings. So now they have Debo, Pearsall, and Jennings under contract for the next 2 years. So that at least gives them some flexibility. But I still think, like, what they would love to do is sign Ayuk and then dangle Debo out there.
Just not to belabor the point, but, like, please go online and watch Justin Jefferson's high school highlights. Like, so I don't know this game.
What was he ranked by Rivals? I got to look this up. You know what? The most accurate one to look at is the 24/7 composite, because it combines. I'm going to pull it up. It combines all of the different recruiting services. So I'm going to Google Justin Jefferson 24/7 Okay, so here we go. And I'll view his recruiting profile.
How did all anybody right, not
all right, this is fair. This is fair. This
how
is
did fair. Anyone not have him as a 5-star player?
This is fair. No, but this is fair. Like, if you, like, I can see why he feels doubted. He was the 308th ranked receiver in the country.
Okay, whoever made that list is an idiot.
Yeah. So,
Okay. So, in fairness, I have made plenty of mistakes before, and in my, so idiot's a strong word. Let me walk that back. But just look at this. Like, just so pull it up.
But good on LSU for, like, offering him then. You know what I mean? Like, because normally LSU would not offer somebody. I'm going down the list to see where, like, the people around him were committed to. Hold on. This is a fun game. All right. So he's 308. Okay. Committed to LSU. Laughing.
I'm just watching all these catches.
Okay.
Like, what the hell?
So 306 is Tariq Young, who was committed to Western Kentucky. 306 for 306 is Logan Montgomery, who I didn't recognize the logo. I clicked on it, committed to UC Davis, right? So then at 308, he's at 308 with this guy, Ladarius Dickens, who it says NA next to commitment. So I'm not sure what's going on there.
he went and to
then
Alaska.
Then the guys right behind him committed to Louisiana Monroe. I think that's New Mexico. Yeah, that's New Mexico. Bowling Green. So, like, that's like the level of recruit he was, which is pretty crazy, right?
Who?
So is, that LSU, I mean, good on LSU. I mean, that would have been, would that have been Coach O, or would that have still been Les Miles?
I think.
Well, no. When he committed.
Oh, when he committed. Yeah, it was when probably he committed, the end of that, Les. Hold on. Beginning of Coach O.
Yeah, might have been Les Miles, but anyway, good on them. The top receivers in the country that year, by the way, number one, Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Ooh.
Number two, T. Higgins. Number three, Jerry Judy. Number four, Joseph Lewis, who went to USC. Number five, Jeff Thomas, who went to Miami. Number six, Trayvon Grimes. Devontae Smith is nine, went to Bama. I could totally fall down a rabbit hole doing this. Henry Ruggs is 11, went to Bama. Jalen Rager is 13 to TCU. Who we got here?
I'm just watching him, like, return a punt.
CeeDee Lamb, 24th. Nico Collins, 23rd. So there's some names there.
Looks like Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl. Like, when you do this.
So is he? But is he playing in, like, Division 14 football? Maybe that was the problem.
I don't know. There's a team called Mandeville that he's playing against, and
like, if you want to see the most hilarious highlights, go look up Derrick Henry's high school highlights.
Oh yeah, of course.
He legitimately played in, like, Division 14 in Florida.
He was,
like,
a public health concern for other kids. Yeah. But this team that he's playing against that I'm watching right now is sponsored by Raisin Cane's, the chicken.
A public health concern.
Like, if I don't know. If
it's like a Surgeon General's warning on playing against him in Division 14 Florida football.
Like, if you, like, just be honest. Like, I would probably have done it just to see what would happen. But if I was in high school, say it's like my third to last game and we're playing, it was like Yulee High School where Derrick Henry went in Florida, right?
Yep.
I think it was called like Yulee or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
And so, like, I'm like the middle linebacker or whatever, and this team is just going to run ISO at me all day. Would I fake an injury? Probably. I mean, like, let's just be honest. Like, I don't need that in my life. I would probably try.
The amount of kids that must have just dove at his knees late in games, just giving up, you know?
Like, yeah. Like, they're, at that age, I'm learning this now as I'm coaching youth sports. Like, there's just like we're all just hitting our genetic thing at a different point in time, right? Mm-hmm. And Derrick Henry just got it all at one point and then just decided to, that exploded all over the high school football field. And then you have kids like me who, like, didn't grow until they were like 19. And so you're just sitting there, you know, just gum on the boot heel, you know? That's not fair. Let's move on to NFC standings. This is going to be fun. Again, we're going by the Mitch Goldich official order of alphabetical standing. So we're going to go to east, north, south, and then west. And the east, to me, is one of the hardest to start with because I imagine that the Dallas Cowboys are going to take a massive step back. But here's why. I think that in our lives, we are best facilitated by some degree of comfort and confidence. In Dallas, everybody, and I'm talking everybody, except for Jerry Jones, is on a one-year contract. So how do you approach that situation when your boss says, you got 1 year to do this? Oh, also, we're not paying any of the big superstars, so they're a little bit concerned about getting hurt. You know, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, all coming up for big deals. We're not going to pay any of those guys, by the way. And your biggest free agent is going to be, drumroll, a late 20s Ezekiel Elliott, who we didn't want last year and who the Patriots ran into the line of scrimmage 300 times the year before. So, ta-da, that sucks. I don't want that. And so, I don't know. Do you think that they take a big step back this year?
Yeah, and I think their division's tougher, too.
Like, is it tougher?
I think, like, looking at it, like, I think the Eagles are at least where they were last year, right? I think the Giants are going to be a lot better. Just because I think if you look at the Giants, it's my line of scrimmage litmus test. If you're good at the line of scrimmage, you're going to be in every game. And I think the Giants have a chance to get there. If Evan Neal develops, they have Andrew Thomas on the left side on offense. And then on defense, you've got Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence. Like, there's a lot of potential there along the lines of scrimmage for the Giants. And I think that they take a step back up. And Washington's going to be feisty. Like, I don't think that they're going to win a ton of games, but I think Washington's going to be a pain in the ass by the end of the year, right? Like, I could see them being in, like, the 6-7 win range where it's like they come up and bite somebody and screw up somebody's season in December. You know what I mean? So, so much of it for me with Dallas comes down to where's their offensive line at, right? So there's no Tyron Smith now. What are you doing at left tackle, right? Is it Guyton out there? Is it Smith moving out? You know what I mean? Like what do you do at left tackle? Do you feel good enough about the group as a whole? You know, and then defensively, like, there's the transition going from Dan Quinn to Mike Zimmer, you know? So there's just a lot of moving parts there. And the contract situation is, like, hovering over, like, three of the best players in the team, and Dak and Parsons and Lamb shouldn't be ignored either, because that could really kind of hover over their training camp. Like we said earlier, like, the price tag on Lamb just rose. And, like, if you don't think Micah Parsons is going to be asking for something close to 40, like, Jefferson affects him too, you know? Yeah. I mean, you know, because the top non-quarterback contract was Nick Bosa at 34. Now it's Jefferson at 35, so Parsons is going to be looking to beat that. So, I mean, to get those three guys re-signed, we're probably talking about a total of, if you wanted to do it now, like, between the three of them, what, like $120, $130 million per year?
$500 billion.
Yeah. So, Mike McCarthy's got a big challenge in front of him as far as, like, managing all of this, no question.
If I'm Mike McCarthy, I say trade me. Trade me, Jerry. I mean,
that'd be great if a coach demanded a trade on the first day of training camp.
He's like, yeah, I'm not doing this. I mean, Mike McCarthy is, I feel like,
Bones Fossil has to take over for the first few weeks of training camp while they're working that out.
Boy, I'll tell you what, though. If there was a dude who was ready for that challenge, it would be Bones Fossil.
That's right. Yep. I remember,
weird Bones Fossil story. When he took over for Jeff Fisher as the interim coach of the Rams, and Bones, for anyone who doesn't know, legendary special teams coach, the son of
Jim Fossil,
son of the late Jim Fossil. And Jim was such a good guy. Took the Giants to a Super Bowl in 2000. And I remember calling Jim to talk about Bones and how ready he would be to be a head coach. And Jim talked for probably about half an hour about how hard Bones works out, which was so funny to me. Like, it was just like, he's like, oh, he's ready, man. He's like, you got to see the way he works out. He gets after, he works out. And it's like, you know, you don't, but then you see Bones and you understand. He's just like this unlimited font of energy. And I don't know. Bones would be ready. But Mike McCarthy, let's just, for 1 second, all he's ever done is won a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers ran him out of Green Bay, which now that we have the time.
Has different context.
Has a much different context. Okay. And then he takes the year off. He ends up in Dallas. He plays well after losing his quarterback 1 year. Mm-hmm. He wins 12 games, what, the last 3 years?
Yeah.
He's won 12 games 3 years in a row?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about him being fired, he's gotten no help from
kind of ridiculous
the front office.
If you think about
it's
it
insane. Like, think about it. Okay. And you can say no help in air quotes, right? I mean, they went out and they got like Stephon Gilmore last year, which was, was a big help. But this year is the year. This is the year that you punch the gas, that you hit the free agent market, that you pair CeeDee Lamb with someone. Like, would you've gone after one of the top veteran free agents on the market? Would you've tried to move up for one of the big three wide receivers? Would you have signed? Would you have held on to? Would you've held on to some of your offensive linemen? You know what I mean? Would you've done anything? But instead, it's like, here, figure this out. We're giving you no resources. Why are we treating Mike McCarthy like this? I'm genuinely curious.
And wait until we rev up the Bill Belichick thing.
You know, it's gonna be weird too.
What?
That, guess who has a ton of Cowboys games this year? Tom Brady. And guess who knows more about Bill Belichick than anybody on the face of the earth? And I don't know this to be true or false. I have no idea what Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's relationship is, because I bet it's very complicated, like any group of people who have been together for 25 years. Do you think that Jerry Jones is seeing Tom Brady once every 3 weeks in his facility and not inquiring about that in the very least?
Yeah. No, I mean, I would think he would be. Do you know the Cowboys had the third best point differential in football last year?
Yes. Isn't that stunning?
Behind only Baltimore and San Francisco.
It's wild.
That's freaking crazy.
Now, some of those
games. And the point differential is like, to put it in context, their point differential is plus 194. There are only 5 teams in the league that had a plus 100.
So it's not just that. I was going to say there was that Giants game at the beginning of the year where they waxed them and Daniel Jones got hurt and it was like a 40-point win, but it was more.
And then they destroyed somebody. Was it the Patriots the next week?
I think it was the Jets without Aaron, because they got the Jets the next week without Aaron Rodgers, remember?
And then they beat the Patriots by a million also. Yes. Like maybe a week or two after that, yeah. I think I'm with you on McCarthy. I do think physical appearance, like, it just sucks, but it's true. Like, I do think, like, they've just sort of made him out to be, I think to some degree, something he's not, which, like, he's done a good job developing quarterbacks over the years. He was largely responsible, and it sounds stupid to say it now, but he was, like, hugely responsible for helping rebuild Aaron Rodgers fundamentally, you know, when he had that like that shelf delivery back coming out of Cal.
Yeah.
You know, they were a player development machine when McCarthy was in Green Bay. Not to say he was perfect. He obviously wasn't, but you know, and in Dallas, like you said, like, you know, he had the first year where they weren't very good, and then, you know, 3 years in a row, 12 plus wins. This hasn't been the train wreck that people are making it out to be, but I think people look at it and they look at the way that things ended in Green Bay, again, without adding the context that we have now to it. And you're thinking to yourself, like, okay, well, like, Dallas is about to be a train wreck. Mike McCarthy's a train wreck. When neither are really true. So, it's funny because, like, I don't know there's another franchise in the league that could win 12 games 3 years in a row like that. And every person that didn't have like a Patrick Mahomes or someone like that, a quarterback, where the day after they get eliminated from the playoffs, everyone is like, why haven't they fired him yet?
Right. It's silly. It's silly. Anyway, all right. We have Dallas, Philly, New York Giants, and the Commanders. I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm going, God, Philly, Dallas, Giants, Commanders.
You wanted to go Giants second there, didn't you?
My,
I think that's what that pause was.
The pause was, if the bottom falls out,
yeah,
in Dallas, what if the bottom falls out? Now, granted, I think that even if one of their big three stars gets hurt, they have enough to edge the Giants. But I will say this, like last year, they made a mockery. The Cowboys made a mockery of the Giants in that first game. And there was bad weather conditions. It was set up perfectly for Dallas. But also, you put Micah Parsons on a struggling, developing offensive tackle, and you're going to wreck the game. It's just how it goes. I mean, you can't game plan for that. Now, does the tide turn where Dallas has developing offensive line talent? The Giants have Brian Burns. Can you use him in a similar way to almost flip the script on this? And do they become a faster defense that gets to the quarterback a little bit better? Do they, Wink Martindale was a little more pressure heavy. Do they mix that up a little bit? Do they throw in some curveballs? I don't know, but I don't think the Giants and Cowboys are that far apart.
I don't either. I love the Brian Burns signing.
I did too.
I love it, love it, love it. Like, I think that guy is such a good player and was like almost a victim of like a really weird circumstance where they almost traded him a year and a half ago. And then he knew if he gets traded to the Rams, he's getting paid. The rug gets pulled out from underneath him. The negotiation was a mess. Like, I just think he is a good example of a guy who had a lot of like just bad things going on around him, you know, last year and a half in Carolina, and could, with Kayvon Thibodeau opposite him, could really like, I mean, I think he could be a 15 sack guy this year, which is why I am going to put the Giants in second.
Yes,
against my bet.
Let's go.
I'm doing it to be a little different than you.
Come on.
I'll have the Eagles winning the division. I have the Giants second, the Cowboys third, the Commanders fourth. Again, I think the Commanders are going to be feisty. There's just too many variables with Dallas right now. You know what I mean? Like, for me not to think, like, I think that's going to be like an 8-9 team. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Giants 8-9-8, Cowboys 8-9. And I reserve the right to change my mind there. But I just think, if you look at, like, the way their roster is set up right now, do we know who the running back's going to be?
No.
And how has Dak been without a really good running game?
Right.
And you don't know who the left tackle is going to be yet. And so then, okay, like, well, maybe we'll have the defense carry us. But you just lost Dan Quinn. And Zim's a great defensive coach.
Right.
But he's been out of it for 2 years now. So, like, what is he coming back? I just think there's just so many variables with the Cowboys. I could see them taking a step back this year for sure.
We're on to the NFC North. I had to take a quick break, Albert, because I had to ask my neighbors if I should buy GameStop. They said
stock?
No. Yeah, I guess it's back.
It's back.
It's back.
Is?
Yeah, Roaring
I
Kitty.
I heard something. Yeah, I heard something about it, but
I don't,
you gotta know.
I don't know anything about. So it's very cool. I very much love, my neighborhood and all the dudes. Everyone's very financially minded. Like, a lot of people work in the financial sector. And so I have absolutely no idea what any of this means. I don't know how to buy stocks. I don't know where to, like, if you told me, hey, Connor, tomorrow, this stock's going to go up like $100 million. I'd say, I don't know how to do it. I don't understand how to do it. So I wouldn't even know how to get it. Like, I think we used to have like company stock, like 9 versions of Sports Illustrated ago. And I like called the broker guy and I was like, okay, I'd like to, like, do I have to just like say out loud that I don't want it anymore? Like, how does this, how do you sell a stock? Like in the office,
the Michael Scott, like, you know, like I declare bankruptcy.
I legitimately thought like that's what you had to do. I was just like, I don't want this anymore, you know? Or like, do I just go to the bank and say no? But it is the neighborhood dad's chat is popping off about GameStop. And so I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
My dad
was
a stockbroker and I don't understand anything about it either. So,
all right. This is going to be a safer bet. I think the NFC North, although kind of a spicy division, right?
I don't know if there's a bad team in there. Like, you know what I mean? That's like that. There's not a bad team in there.
I think four teams could legitimately finish with winning records. With the So here's what I'll do. Vikings is, or Lions is such a chalky pick. It's such a chalky pick.
No, but they won the division by 3 games last year.
Right. And did Green Bay get 3 games better and did the Lions get worse? I would argue that the Lions signed the best free agent of the offseason in DJ Reader. Like, I think they're gonna be much better. I don't know. So I'm going Lions.
I mean,
Packers.
And the thing but okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
Lions, Packers, Vikings, Bears. But with the caveat that the Vikings and the Bears both finish like 9-8. How about that? Vikings at like 13-4, Packers at 10-7.
So to be clear, Connor, now we're through half this. Connor has picked repeat order in both divisions.
I know.
So Just to put that out there, the Lions just have too many ascending players. You know, like they have too many guys that are still on the way up. Now you take Goff out of it, but I mean, Penei Sewell still on the way up. Amon-Ra St. Brown still on the way up. Jameson Williams on the way up. Jahmyr Gibbs on the way up. Aiden Hutchinson on the way up. They've got, I mean, you know, Sam Laporta on the way up. Brian Branch on the way up. Like, it almost feels like the only thing that's going to take the Lions off the trajectory they're already on is injuries. That's the only thing I can look at them and legitimately say that's it. Even their staff, like the fact that they've been able to keep Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn for as long as they have, you know, going into now year four for those guys in Detroit is mind-blowing and rare. And the kind of thing that, like, when a team wins a championship, you look back at it and say, yeah, that's a big reason why it happened. You know, so I have a hard time picking anybody but the Lions. I think the Lions have a chance to win 13 or 14 games, maybe more than they did last year. So I'll go Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings.
Bears, Vikings. Yeah.
And I hate putting the Vikings last because the Vikings are, I think everything they've done, I think like, almost everything they've done has been right. You know, like I think the resetting of the roster and resetting of the salary cap and kind of, you know, getting younger at key spots, like Danielle Hunter is a really great player, right? And I think he was right for Houston to, you know, I think Houston did well to go and get him. Still, the Vikings got 4 years younger at that position, right? And now they put him opposite Dallas Turner. Somehow they're able to come away with both Dallas Turner and J.J. McCarthy in the draft. And so, yeah, I think you look at what's around the quarterback, whether it's Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy. And I think Darnold's going to be better than people think. And it's Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, and T.J. Hockenson on top of an offensive line that returns intact and has a premier young left tackle in Christian Darrisaw. They've done so many things right. And I think it's going to pay off eventually, just not this year. So I hate putting them last. The Bears, to me, I think I may be more excited to watch them play than any other team in football.
Yeah. And
like, it's just an intriguing team because they haven't won consistently in so long. And they, you know, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have done all this work to build up around the quarterback. So when they slot the young quarterback in there, there's a fully formed situation. You know, it's sort of the way that, you know, Poles was part of it in Kansas City. They built up the Chiefs roster and then dropped the young quarterback in. And the defense was getting a lot better at the end of last year, too. You know, and I think, what were they, 5-3 in their last 8 or something like that?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what happens with the Bears, not just because of Caleb, because of everything there, where it does feel like that team is in position, and there's a lot of pressure on people there too, you know, but it does feel like they're in position to take a pretty big step.
And really, like, okay, so if the Bears finish in last place in the division at 9-8 or 8-9 with a rookie quarterback, like, we have to keep that in mind, right? I think that's a good thing. I know that everyone wants to win now, and you have Keenan Allen, and you have all this stuff, but, like, outside of CJ Stroud, there's very few examples of rookie quarterbacks coming in, going a game deep into the playoffs and lighting it up. Now, you would maybe because Caleb Williams is the first overall pick, you think he's going to do it, you expect he's going to do it, but, like, 9 wins for this season, for this team, even if it's in last place, I think is a good thing. So, I don't know. That's my take on it. And you're still expecting big, like, you're going to need, like, big seasons from, like, a rookie wide receiver. You know what I mean? Like, a lot's going to have to happen for them, but I do think it's possible. The NFC South.
They just don't have a ton of holes. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you look at the Bears roster, they don't have a ton of holes.
It's
anymore.
Pre-baked. So it's the new trend. Like, they got it ready before the quarterback got there, which I think is good. We move to the NFC South, which is a bit precarious for me because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers finished in first place last year. And I picked them to win 2 games. They won 7 more than that. And the general manager of the team sought me out publicly to let me know that I was incorrect in that. They did go 4-1.
You may have had a place on a bulletin board in their facility.
Literally. Bulletin board material.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Pretty cool.
Pretty neat.
You made an impact.
I made an impact. So we have the Vikings, the Saints, the Falcons, and the Panthers.
You gonna do it again?
Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm picking the Saints first. I'm picking the Falcons second.
Ooh.
Picking the Buccaneers third. And I'm picking the Panthers fourth. I'm sorry.
Can I tell all of them to listen to the podcast?
No. Don't. But see, this is the problem.
Please let me tell them to listen to the podcast.
This is the problem. Everybody out there, I hate this, right? I hate this. But here's the thing.
People don't realize how much people like us hate making picks, by the way.
It's awful.
It sucks.
It's so awful. And here's the other thing.
There's no upside. There's no one cares if you get it right.
Zero upside.
There's no upside.
No. And here's the other thing. I love, there are certain people in our business who have big platforms, and they get to every week just be like, oh, this team is awesome, and this team is awesome, and that team is awesome, and it's true. Yeah. Every team.
And then you go to their predictions, and the league wide record is like 35 games over 500.
Right. Like, all these teams are good. All these coaches are good. They wouldn't be in the NFL if they weren't good. It's like a Justin Jefferson thing. I'm not doubting you, but just by virtue of how this works, someone has to be in third place. And, okay, here's my thought process. Actually, let me flip. I'm going to flip.
Ooh.
Okay,
You're a big believer in the Saints, huh?
No, stick with it.
I feel like we have to address that, too.
Stick with it, Connor. Stick with it.
Okay. Let's address the Saints. Like, why do you see them in that spot?
I like the shift to Kubiak as OC.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a big, in fact, I know this for a fact, the offensive coordinator search this offseason was very Derek Carr focused. And I understand Carr and his limitations, but Derek Carr at his best is like the 10th best quarterback in the NFL. And you can win games with the 10th best quarterback in the NFL. You can win a lot of games. I think Derek Carr at his best is just as good as Kirk Cousins at his average or his like his upper middle tier. Is that fair to say that?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, that I think that's fair.
So we're dealing from that deck. The Falcons to me, like it's too obvious. right? It's too obvious. All these young stars, they're finally going to materialize with this new ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I think that some of the, you know, the Falcons have a lot of exciting players, but I also think Arthur Smith was really good. And I don't know how much further the offense is going to go up. And also, Ryan Nielsen was one of the better defensive coordinators in the NFL last year. How much more are they going up? You know what I mean? That's my question.
Right.
How much better are they given all of this? And Raheem could be a master motivator. There's a lot of stuff that he could maybe do that Arthur Smith isn't going to do. All that said, I like Dennis Allen. I like the fact that the Saints are going to have this, you know, kind of one more ride energy. They have a lot of older defensive players, you know, just like the Buccaneers did when Tom Brady was there, you know, and maybe you get a couple bounces of the ball that go your way because of veteran experience. Derek Carr maybe feels comfortable. We haven't seen him. Am I wrong in saying that we have not seen him yet in like a Shanahan tree offense? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we have.
That's right. Yeah. Cause he played for Josh in Vegas at the end of Vegas. Before that, it would have been
Olsen, Gruden.
I mean, Gruden's kind of like
Gruden borrowed a lot from Kyle, right?
Well, Gruden borrowed a lot from everybody. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, like Bill Musgrave early in his career, right? Then Todd Downing. So, yeah, I think you're right that this would be the first time he's been in that sort of offense.
Okay.
I'm worried about the Saints getting old in a lot of key spots.
Offensive line is a challenge.
Yeah, and so like, does Fuaga make the transition over to left tackle? Is there some bumps there? What are you putting around Chris Olave at receiver? Kamara isn't young anymore. Now, he's a great player, but he isn't young anymore. You know, and then defensively, you are still relying on like older guys like DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan, and Tyrann Mathieu, like who are all great players. It's how many of those can you count on making it through the year? So I'm going to go.
Don't pick the Buccaneers first to make me look like an asshole. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Jason, I'm sorry.
Bucks, Falcons.
God.
Saints.
Damn it. God damn it.
Because I've been caught disrespecting the Buccaneers too. God. And unlike you, I am willing to admit my mistakes.
I'm admitting the mistake. I know I was wrong. But also, no, I don't know, right?
So can I give you one thing that I really like about where the Bucs are?
I like a lot of things. This is the part that's going to get clipped out, right? I like a lot of things about the Bucs.
I like Liam Cohen.
I do too.
There. I like Liam Cohen going there. I think Baker is in a different place now.
God.
They do have some of the issues that the Saints have when it comes to age, you know, and relying on some older players. And so Lavonte David's still around, right? Like Mike Evans is not getting any younger. So you do have some of those issues. You know, like there's a changing dynamic at corner for them. So how do they manage that, you know, with Carlton Davis having been traded? So there are questions here. God. But the Falcons have holes on defense. Falcons have major holes on defense.
Okay.
So
wait.
Like, because I thought about putting Atlanta first because I think Atlanta's got a chance to be dynamic offensively, and I think defensively it's going to take like another draft for Raheem Morris to get
agreed
where he wants to go. And like there's part of that for me that like we can go back to the Michael Penix argument if you want there, but that's part of it. Like you could have gotten a player that would have really helped you, whether it's sure. Byron Murphy or Dallas Turner right. or Leatu Latu, whoever it is, you know, there with the eighth pick. I just don't know that the Falcons are there defensively to make it. And the Bucs, I think the Bucs win the division. That's not a very good division, but
okay.
I think the Bucs win. And I think the Panthers, I think the Panthers are in for another long year.
Sorry, I had some ice in my coffee. Unexpected. I'm going to make one alteration because I'm weak and I'm indecisive. Let me flip it to Saints, Bucks, Falcons, Panthers.
Okay? There you go. There you go.
Because that's the thing.
There you have it, Jason.
And I realized at the combine how much bigger he is than me too, and I was like imagine
if Jace is a big dude.
Yeah, imagine if he was actually like mad. I'd be in a lot of trouble, you know. And I'm not. What does the Tyrannosaurus Rex in Toy Story say? I don't like confrontation.
That was a great idea, though.
It was a good idea.
I will give it to. That was a really good idea.
It was a good idea. but because you're right, I think, and for the record, we flipped. In episode last week, this isn't just a Bucks thing. I'm not just afraid of Jason Light. I am afraid of Jason Light. I'm not just afraid of Jason Light. I wanted to find a way. Like, I think the Bucks are going to land at that 9-win spot again.
Yeah.
Like somewhere around there. I do think that's where they're at. But you can't have, I can't have four teams with a winning record in the NFC North and then have three teams with a winning record in the NFC South. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
I wish we all lived... You know, I wish we were all in the Lollipop Guild and we could, you know. Isn't that the thing from Wizard of Oz where they all dance?
Is that what it is?
In the name of the I think it's Lollipop League, Lollipop Guild, whatever it is. I wish we were all.
We won't tell anybody, at least publicly, who's in the Lollipop Guild. But I think, you know, I think we both know who we're talking about.
I love everybody, but you just can't pick everybody. You just can't. Like, that's not how a schedule works. Like, there's going to be teams that finish with a losing record or close to 500 record, or when they have 20 games, we'll have 10 and 10.
Yeah, here's a prediction. The total record will come out to 136 and 136. I feel pretty good about that one.
Isn't it 272
if not,
and 272?
Well, it could come out. It could come out to 135, 135 and 2. That's possible, I guess,
yeah.
Right? Or 134, 134 and 4. No. That'd be wrong.
Now I'm confused.
Now we've introduced math.
Yeah.
I think that's right. No. That'd be right. Because I'm trying to like, you have to take away from, because you have to take away from each, the wins and losses, and then add two to the tie column. Because two teams would be taking on ties.
Let me back away before my ears start smoking. You know what? It's impossible for me to walk away from the NFC South feeling good. There's a lot of things I like about all these teams. But... All right, Saints, Bucks, Falcons, Panthers. Sorry.
Everybody. Mark it down.
Mark it down. NFC West. I'm going to have a little bit of fun with this one. I haven't let
you're
you
gonna take the Rams,
I, aren't yeah, you? I haven't let you go first though. Yeah. Let you go first this time. I have not let you go first once.
Okay. Niners, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals. Okay. That's the one where I'll go chalk.
Yep.
Cuz that's exactly the way it was last year. That's the only time I've done that, but I'll go chalk this one.
I'm flipping it. And the reason that I'm flipping it is because I think we've seen, you know, Kyle is one of the three or four best head coaches in the NFL. I'm not disputing that. But he has, over time, you know, he has these little valley years.
Ebbs and flows,
a lot of that is injury. It's situational. It's not because he all of a sudden becomes a bad coach, right? But it's like guys get banged up, you know, circumstances get to the point where, you know, would it shock you
the two bad years, but I think like they've had what, two bad years in the seven that he's been there, right?
Right.
And
so
the first
three
one,
and eight.
The first one was the first one, right? And the second one was the Garoppolo injury.
Yes.
I think that's it, right?
Yes.
Am I wrong about that?
No. So I don't know, like a third bad season in 8 years, would that surprise you? And bad, okay.
Oh no, they were 6-10, but that was 2020. Garoppolo got hurt that year also, right?
Yes.
And Bosa got hurt like on the MetLife turf.
So would it surprise you if, let's say, the Rams win 12 games and the 49ers win 11 games?
No. I think that's fair. I think so now the Rams, the one thing you got to remember about the Rams is they've gone through some changes too. I think losing Raheem Morris and going to Chris Shula, that's something to keep an eye on.
/ Brandon Staley.
Right.
Or no, I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm
no. Yeah. Brandon Staley's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right.
My bad.
So, you know, and I do think like, I mean, how much do you think losing Aaron Donald hurts them? I feel like not a lot of people have talked about that part of it.
I mean,
like,
it's big. It's not just a plug and play situation. And he made a lot of the guys around him better. Maybe he comes back, Albert, and unretires in the middle of the season to help them with the playoff run. We don't know. Actually, can I flip? I'm going to flip it. Last one.
You're very wishy-washy.
I know. I'm so too much coffee this morning. Rams, 49ers, yeah. Cardinals, Seahawks.
Ooh, you're putting the Cardinals in front of Seattle, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why not? I can live with that. I think Arizona's got a chance to surprise some people this year. I put Arizona in that Chicago category, which is like non-playoff team that has like a lot of cool things going on. It has a lot of players I'm like sort of looking forward to watching, you know?
Yeah.
Like they have, I mean, the job that Monty Austin Ford's done building up capital. Now, eventually that capital's got to become players, right? But the job they've done building capital over the last 2 years and like what they've done in the draft and winding up getting Paris Johnson after, you know, moving back and then back up. And then this year they wind up with Marvin Harrison and Darius Robinson. You know, Paris Johnson moving over to left tackle. I like that, like where they brought in Jonah Williams and offloaded DJ Humphreys. So they got younger and I think potentially better at tackle as a result of doing that. There's just like a lot of like, I think I used this line recently on the podcast, Connor. You know, I remember, you know, saying this to Eric DaCosta 5 or 6 years ago when they were building around Lamar Jackson, that like the cool thing about what the Ravens do is you can explain it to an 8-year-old. Like, I feel like a lot of like what the Cardinals have done, you can explain to an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's, I say that in the most respectful way possible. It's because it's logical what they're doing, you know? And they started with the left tackle and they went with the receiver this year. And along the way, they've built up, you know, this treasure chest of picks. And then you look down the line and some of the guys they pick, like Max Melton out of Rutgers, is a really good player, you know? And he plays a need spot at corner. So there's not a lot like over the last year and a half where you look since Monty and JG got there, like there's not a lot like where you look at it and you're scratching your head, you know? Most of the moves they've made just makes sense. I know that sounds simplistic and stupid, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. It makes a lot more sense than some of my predictions, as I'm sure.
As Jason Light would tell you.
I bumped you up to second, Jason. That's it. That's all you get. I'm sorry. When you win the Super Bowl, I will put on my scarlet letter and I will walk around as number one Bucks doubter. Because that's the thing. I mean, historically, the one thing I'm very grateful of is like he addressed this past season, but when they signed Tom Brady, I was probably even worse. In terms of, I was like, what a joke of a signing this is. you know, my bad. We can't all be right.
Wait. You said Tom Brady was a joke of signing?
I mean, so I think that what I wrote when they signed Tom Brady was incendiary enough that when they won the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay.
Now I've had some pretty big whiffs.
When they won the Super Bowl,
I thought Vernon Golston was a home run of a draft pick. So I've had some whiffs for sure.
That's less of a whiff. That's like a foul ball tip in the catcher's mitt. This is me like this is like 50 Cent throwing out the first pitch. when they signed Tom Brady, my that immediate reaction column or whatever it is that I wrote, was incendiary enough that I made it into like the end of season TB12, like gotcha reel, where like they had a bunch of headlines of like, no one believes in me, you know, tying it back to Justin Jefferson. But, mine was certainly in there. And, I was wrong. I thought it was Belichick.
Well, that was like, yeah, I mean, Brady definitely had some of that going on too. I mean, he this whole like Cinderella came out of nowhere story. I mean, he's a quarterback at Michigan. You know what I mean? It's not like you weren't coaching at like Prairie View, dude. Like you were the quarterback at Michigan. You know, so did I say coaching there? Yeah, maybe it's time to end this.
All right, Albert. I mean, we did it.
We did it. We got through the whole league, all 32.
It's etched in stone. Just put me on the text.
And again, if there's one thing I want people to take away from this podcast, is remember, at the end of the year, 136 and 136.
It's 272 and 272. Isn't it? Right?
See, you're right.
Yeah. We're in mid-season form, baby.
272 and 272. And so I got to correct what I was saying earlier. You tried to correct me and I blew right through it. I'm already through two cups of coffee.
I did.
So then it would be 271, 271, and two, or 270, 270, and four if there are two ties in the league.
You also have a spider behind you on your wall, which is very exciting. Look at behind you.
It's a fly, not a spider.
That's good.
It's a fly.
That's good. Probably better.
Can we try kill it? Let's see if we can.
Oh, it's gone.
Connor gave it. Connor warned the fly.
Get out of there. Albert's going to get you. Yeah. All right, very exciting week here coming up at the MMQB. I'm going to some mandatory mini camps. I'm sure we will all be dispatched around the country ascertaining some new football knowledge. So please check back in with us next week. As always, we'll have new episodes and a lot of good stuff up on SI.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.